So, Lucy, come up, Lucy. For those of you who don't know, this is Lucy. She's even bought a fan club, which is particularly good. Many of you will recognize Lucy because she's preached at PBC before, albeit some months ago. She's been an intern with The Message and is part of our 1830s group and has now got a job with The Message. So she's going to get to stay for a bit longer, working with The Message on the hire tour. Anyway, this is Lucy, and Lucy is going to share God's word to us.
Morning, guys. It's a bit different being up here on a Sunday morning. Just as a pre-warning, if I start to sound like a bit like a man, like halfway through, I've had a bit of a cold this week, and so my throat might like give out, but yeah, just bear with me. And I have a bit of another confession. I haven't actually been here for any of the other Galatians talks this summer, but I've heard they've been good, and I love how Paul talks to the church of Galatia, and I kind of want to journey a bit more of that today, if that's all right. So we're going to start off, we're just going to read the passage, and then we're just going to dive right in. So it's Galatians 5, 1 to 15. I'm just going to read through the whole thing. So it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Mark my words. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will no longer be of value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision or uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. If you were running a good race, who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I'm confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion, whoever that may be, will have to pay the penalty. Brothers and sisters, if I'm still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. Life by the Spirit. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by one another. And now I think the context of like the whole passage of Galatians is so important. And it's important to remember that like this bit might sound quite aggressive and that Paul is having a go at them. But I think it's important to remember that he's coming out of this place of loving his brothers and sisters in the church of Galatia. Like he's wanting to tell them this because he gets it and he wants to share it with them and he wants them to get it too. And I think it's so important how he starts the passage. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And now, there's going to be many reasons why he said this, but I quite like to think that it's because he's like trying to like grasp their attention. He's trying to say, Christ died on the cross and set us free for freedom. And he's trying to be like, you've got to get your head around this freedom thing because it's important, because Christ died to set us free from it. So he's trying to grab their attention and be like, listen up to what I'm about to say. And when I was planning this talk, I realized that my view of freedom and like what freedom was kind of maybe doesn't match up with what is meant to, or there's loads of different things I associate with freedom. And so I thought it'd be quite important to start off by looking at what is freedom. And so I looked at what any good place to find out what something means. I went to Google and I Googled freedom, and this is what came up. It says, it is the power or right to act, speak, and think as you want, and the state of not being imprisoned or enslaved. And now I would say this is fairly accurate. Like, I think that I'm able to say what I want. I can think what I want. I can do what I want. I wouldn't say I'm particularly enslaved or imprisoned. So I would say that is a fairly accurate thing about freedom. And if we look at the church, I would say we're fairly free as the Western church. We can meet without like opposition. We can share our faith in places. And it might not be as free as we'd want it, but I think compared to a lot of places, I think we'd mostly say we're pretty free as the church in Poynton in the UK. And I wouldn't say that we're imprisoned or enslaved as the church. And we might not be caught up in rule-keeping that, like the church of Galatia. But when we live in a world where I would say a large majority of non-Christians would view Christianity or view being a Christian as something that means you have to follow rules or you'll have to chain yourself to something. I think it's probably like worth evaluating the way that we're living as individuals, but also the way that we're living and moving as the church. Because where are people getting this idea from that being a Christian means you're chained to something or you have to follow all these rules? And so today I just quite want to kind of look at what does it mean to be free and what are we actually doing with it as the church? And are we living as free people? And so it's probably worth thinking about what the world thinks about freedom, right? And I would say that the large majority of people I've met would associate freedom with probably the opposite thing of what they associate Christianity with. And I'm sure we've all like come across some interesting comments or thoughts or opinions when we've told people that we're Christians. But if we say we took the average person and we asked them, what does it mean to be a Christian? Or what is Christianity? I've come up with three answers that I think we've probably all heard or all come across. So the first one is that Christians don't have fun. I've heard this one a lot, and I'm pretty sure that's what a lot of people think about Christians, is that we don't know how to have fun. Now, I'm pretty sure they haven't been to a wedding or a bring and share lunch at church, because that's lots of fun. And the second one is Christians don't have sex. That's probably something people associate with Christianity quite a lot. And the third one is Christians have to go to church. As part of being a Christian, we have to go to church. Now, firstly, I'm not sure if any of those things are true, but also none of those things represent Christianity as bringing freedom to your life. It represents something that we have to meet standards, we have to follow rules. And I'm not sure that's actually what freedom is or actually what Christianity is. And now, some of you know I did Message Academy with Sarah and Rachel 2 years ago now. And as part of that, we went to South Africa. And when we went to South Africa, it was an amazing 2 weeks. So many amazing things happened. But one of my personal highlights, and I'm sure the rest of the group as well, was when we went into prison. And we went into prison and, you know, we performed our like Justin Bieber tracks and people shared testimony and people preached the gospel. And it was fine. It was great. And then there was this one moment where this group of guys who had encountered Jesus in prison and had their lives changed by Jesus in prison, they got up and they sang the song, No Longer a Slave to Fear. And it was one of the most amazing moments. Like, we were all there crying in floods of tears. But it was so amazing because a prison is probably one of the places you associate freedom with least, like, ever. You would think everyone in prison isn't free. Anyway, that's what I thought. And then there's these guys who had encountered Christ and had their lives changed by Christ. And they were singing about how free they were. Yet some of them were going to be in prison for like another few decades. And for me, that was one of the like places I've seen freedom and true freedom that you find in Christ represented best, or people that got it the most. And I kind of want that for us here. And I want that for like my life. I want to be able to appreciate freedom and understand freedom in the way that those guys did in prison. And so I think when addressing the question, what is freedom, we need to be thinking about, well, what does it mean to be a Christ follower and how does this affect our impact as the church? And we need to realize that as people in this world, we weren't born free. I think we like to think we are, and we do have freedom. We can make choices, but we were born into a world where it's obviously sinful and it was fallen. And because of that, we've all made mistakes and we've all sinned essentially. And Christ came so that he could show us the ultimate representation of love and tangibly show us God's grace. And this chase of perfection that our world wants isn't going to be possible. And that is what we need to realize. And that even when we didn't deserve it, Christ died and rose again so that we could be free from our mistakes, but also free from rule following and free from legalism. And by his grace and grace alone, we get to come and be in relationship with him. So I hope that's given us a bit more clarity on what actually is freedom. And so we're going to look at where do we find freedom. And at the start of chapter 5, 2 to 5, Paul is talking about circumcision. He says, Listen, Paul, I tell you this. If you're counting on circumcision to make you right with God, then Christ will be of no benefit to you. I'll say it again. If you're trying to find favor with God by being circumcised, you must obey every regulation in the law of Moses. For if you're trying to make yourselves right by God by keeping with the law, you have been cut off from Christ. You have fallen away from God's grace. Sorry, my throat's really dry. And I've never really completely got circumcision or why it's talked about quite a lot in the Bible. But basically, circumcision was a physical act or a physical sign that people did because they accepted the law, because they understood it and they wanted the law to be part of their lives. And Paul is talking to the church of Galatia not because he doesn't agree with circumcision or not because he doesn't think it's right, but because they had become dependent on whether someone was circumcised or not to decide whether they were accepted by God or not. And they'd come to believe that they'd be closer to God, closer and better in their faith, more accepted and more valued if they had been circumcised. And he's also saying to them that because they recognized the law as the ultimate power, as the ultimate authority, they were undermining the grace that God could have in their lives. And I'm pretty sure as the church today, we do not have the same ideals around circumcision and what it could do for our relationship with God. But I would argue that we do have a similar idea when it comes to where to find freedom. Because I think sometimes as the church, we can create this like standard and this bar to reach, to set of what it means to be a Christian. And we can think, oh, if only I could do that, then I'd be more accepted. Or if only I could do that, I'd be more valued. And it strips us of the grace and the freedom that God has already given to us. Romans 6:14 says, "For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace." And now, I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, some of the most guilty people that I've met have been Christians. And I think we can beat ourselves up more than most other people, you know, if we don't read our Bibles in the morning, if we don't do something that we think we should, if we don't do something as well as we think we should, if we do something different to someone else, we create this bar and we're like always trying to reach this bar of, oh, I need to be at that level to be a Christian. Oh, I need to be like that person to be a Christian. And when we create this pressure and persona, it strips us of the freedom that God wants to give to us. And I was thinking about it, and it reminded me of Ned Flanders from The Simpsons. And it's like the Ned Flanders lifestyle of always trying to be this perfect Christian. But I don't know about you, but the Ned Flanders lifestyle does not seem appealing. I do not look at Ned and think, oh, that's the kind of Christian that I want to be. That is that he is such, he's living in freedom. He can do he's following Christ the way I want to follow Christ. That is not how I look at Ned Flanders. But yet sometimes I feel like we can live like Ned Flanders. And this feeling of not being good enough and this feeling of reaching this bar, this standard, isn't helping us and it isn't helping the church. And I believe that words are powerful, and I believe that what we believe about ourselves is powerful. And it's not going to affect us, but it's also going to affect and limit what we think God can do through us. And when we have this thought that we aren't good enough, we aren't living in that true freedom, and we're constantly living on this roller coaster of, oh, today I'm not good enough. Oh, but tomorrow I might be good enough. Oh, if I do this, but oh no, I'm not good enough now. And if we live on this roller coaster of living good enough, oh, not good enough anymore, then we aren't going to live the life that God has planned for us to the max. And verse 7, Paul says, "You were running the race so well. Who has held you back from following the truth? It certainly isn't God, for he is the one who called you to freedom. This false teaching is like a little yeast that spreads through the whole batch of dough. I'm trusting the Lord to keep you from believing false teachings. God will judge that person, whoever he is, who has been confusing you." And here Paul's trying to get them to recognize what's hindering their freedom. He's like, this is what it is. This is how you get it. What is stopping you from living in this freedom? And he's talking about this yeast in the batch of dough, and it all seems a bit confusing. But what he's actually trying to say is that even the smallest amount of yeast in the batch of dough will affect the growth of the loaf of bread. And what that means is that the smallest amount of sin in our lives will affect our growth and will affect the way that we develop and what God does through us and what we look like as a Christian. And he is warning them about how precious their freedom is. In verse 1, he says, "Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery." He is saying this because freedom is an active choice that we have to hold on to. He wouldn't say stand firm if it was just guaranteed that we could live in freedom. He's saying it because it's something that we have to choose. It's something that we have to hold on to. And that means that Jesus has made a way for us to be free, but it doesn't guarantee that we have the choice whether we take it or not and whether every day we stand firm with it. So we've looked at what is freedom and where do we find it, but the next thing is, what should we be doing with our freedom? And Paul explains this in the last bit of the passage. He says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other." And I love how passionate Paul is about talking this whole passage, but especially this bit, because we've already shown that like he loves these guys. They're his brothers and sisters, and he wants them to get it. But I feel like at the end now, he's just kind of like shouting at them. Like, you can just imagine it. Like, how do you guys not get this? He's like, Christ died to give you freedom, and yet you guys are trying to prove your faithfulness through circumcision. He's like, how and why do you not guys understand this? Because he gets it, and he wants them to understand that being a Christian and a Christ follower is more than rule following, more than being circumcised or not, and he wants them to get that. Again, Romans 6:14, "For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace." And he comes back to this point that we were called to be free. Not just when we make that decision to follow Christ, but every day as we live out our lives, we are called and God wants us to be free. But not only that, but God wants us to do something with it. And now for me, I don't think anyone is going to turn to Christianity if the people that are the example of Christ, who are the church, aren't living in freedom. Because if someone's wanting to look for freedom from the things they're suffering from, freedom from their life, and if us as the church aren't living in true freedom, then they're not going to look here to find freedom. And I think that's why it's so important that we get it and that we understand it. And the ultimate commandment, obviously, is to love God and to love others. And that's what Paul is saying, to serve one another humbly in love. And now rule following or legalism do not create opportunity to love other people. And if that is so, is what is important, then surely that is what we should be doing more of. And as the church, I don't want us to become known for the things that we are against more than the things that we are for. And if we're constantly trying to follow rules and meet standards and meet requirements, that is going to be what happens. And we want to be known as the church that loves people first and loves God. And Paul warns us a bit about what will happen if we don't do this. And it might sound a bit brutal, but it's true. And he says, "If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other." And it's because what he's saying isn't just important for us as individuals to grasp our own freedom with our own relationship with God. It's important for the good of the church and the good of the community. Because ultimately, if we're living in true freedom, if we're living in a way that is free, that is going to affect the people around us, because people are going to see something that they want, that they need, and they're going to come looking to the church for it. So what is freedom? It is the grace and the love that Jesus showed us on the cross, which set us free from our past and released us to choose the relationship with him. Where do we find freedom? Well, we're never going to find it by chasing perfection or beating ourselves up, but Christ has called us to hate sin and to flee from it with an active choice to stand firm in true freedom. And what should we do with it? What God has called us to do with it, to love others and to serve God and to see us change in our situation and surroundings. So we're going to have a bit of a reflection time. I think it's important to dwell on what we think God is saying to each of us. So we're going to spend about 5 minutes. The band are going to come back up. And we're going to spend 5 minutes reflecting on what's been said. And then after that, I'll come up and pray. But then I want us to do something a bit different. I want us to actually pray for the person next to us and pray for the people around us, because I think it's important for us to commission each other in this and to help support each other in going out and living a life this way. So I'll come back up and pray, but then we're going to turn and pray for the people around us. Yes, God, we just thank you for the freedom that truly comes from knowing you and who you are, God. And we just thank you that there's no standard, there's no requirement to be part of your family and be loved by you, God. And I just pray that as each of us leave today, we'll go changed and encouraged and walking in the freedom that comes from knowing you, God. Not in guilt or not in shame of not meeting what we think we need to do, God. We just pray that we go encouraged by one another and walking in your freedom, God. Amen. So if you just want to turn, I think it's important to pray for each other. So if we just pray with the people around us for whatever's been on your heart after this morning.